take your Bible, if you don't mind, turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. It's a very sensitive subject tonight. And I hope it's be a help to you. In Hebrews chapter number 12, we're going to be reading verses 5 through 11. All right? Hebrews chapter number 12 and verses 5 through 11. All right? The Bible says in Hebrews 12, 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." We can all agree on that, amen. "But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." The message tonight is the deceptions of discipline. And I hope and trust as God leads that we'll have a biblical understanding of discipline and that we can apply in our home. And so, again, very touchy subject, very difficult subject at times to not only preach but hear, but yet it's Bible, amen? And everything in the Bible is given for our profit, our instruction, to become more like him and to have a home, a godly home that would certainly display him. But let's pray. Let's have God to help us. Father, we need you tonight. And Lord, I pray that you help my mind to stay on track. Lord, may the Holy Spirit have freedom and movement in our heart. And Lord, we want nothing more in our home than to have a home that does display Christ. However, when we talk about that, we talk about, as we did this morning, our emotions, our anger, and so on. We talked about love in the home. Lord, we talked about submission and the Lord obedience. And we talked about the teaching matter of teaching them as we walk by the wayside and as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. And we think all these things, Lord, and yet there's that one area, Lord, that we maybe try to avoid sometimes, and that's discipline. And so, Lord, help us in our homes, Lord, to follow after that which you've given us. Well, thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. In 1946, Dr. Benjamin Spock, this is not off the Star Trek, okay? Benjamin Spock, and he was a pediatrician. He wrote a book on child discipline and a very worldly view of child discipline. I've not read the book. I have really no need to read the whole book. I just get all upset anyways and want my money back. But he wrote the book concerning the unnecessary actions of discipline in the home. And it was to help homes, but yet that many homes have taken an unbiblical approach because of that. And it was an unbiblical approach in which he wrote. The majority of homes today still believe in what we call spanking, or not capital punishment, but corporal punishment. There is a difference, all right? I advise you not to exercise capital punishment in your home, okay? Corporal punishment, we normally say it as spankings or whoopings or licking. You know, they're all synonymous. They all hurt. But we practice those things. But many in our country still believe in that, know that because of the results of not spanking. You know, not every situation lends itself to let's sit down and talk about it occasion. Now, there are times that we'll talk about it afterwards, but it always doesn't lend itself. And many homes and generations have seen the result of not disciplining in a biblical way. And let me say this. It's not wrong to spank your child, as long as a form of it is done correctly, all right? And it doesn't cause injury. I think that's abuse. And we have to be careful with that. But proper spanking in a proper environment and a proper way, I think, is right and godly. And but Dr. Spock spoke of this. I didn't have a long enough nap. I'm going to tell you that right now, all right? So if I fall asleep, wake me up when I'm done. But if Dr. Spock wrote this, he said, physical punishment certainly plays a role in our acceptance of violence. Now, would that be the case? That's a wrong assertion right there. He says, if we are ever to turn toward a kindlier society and a safer world, a revulsion against the physical punishment of children would be a good place to start. That's wrong. It's unbiblical. God says we ought to start there in the punishment or in the chastisement of our home. I want us to look at our society. Our society has downwardly spiraled as far as our home. Children run the home today. Children are in charge. And the reason is they're not punished. They're not corrected. Matter of fact, they're left to themselves. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, I'm going to give you several Bible verses. They'll not be up on the screen or anything of that nature, but I'll give you some Bible verses tonight. I hope it's a help. But the Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to themselves bringeth his mother to shame. We have seen I've seen it, you've seen it, the defending mother whose child is causing a fit that would probably win themselves an Oscar of performance. And you've seen that, I've seen that, and we've seen them, the mother trying to defend the cause for that fit to take place. And we've all witnessed that mother trying to make excuses for their behavior, hoping to calm that atmosphere down. Being around it, I've seen it. We've seen that take place. We've seen the child. I laugh at myself every time I see it. Child making a scene and throwing themselves on the floor, kicking and screaming. Mom and dad can't get them to do anything. And so mom and dad said, well, we're going to leave. We're just going to leave you there. And they begin to, number one, you're a liar. You're not going to leave them there. Number two, your child knows that too. And they leave them there thinking, well, we got them now. They're going to quit now. What happens is they do quit, but then mom and dad give them exactly what they wanted. Listen, that's not discipline. All you're doing is inviting the next Oscar award-winning, actor. So We see these children left to themselves that bring their mother to shame. You know what that shame word means? It means embarrassment. How many mothers have ever been embarrassed of their children? About every mother, at a certain point or time, you've been embarrassed of what your child has done, And maybe it's just one of those things that they normally don't do, but I don't know why they did it this time. Or it's one of those things where they're always doing it and I'm always embarrassed. I can't seem to control them. I can't seem to get them straightened around, or I can't just seem to get into their head. Listen, it's not their head that you need to get to, if you know what I'm saying. Amen? Y'all been there, and I'm still there. Every now and then, my wife disciplines me and puts me in the corner and makes me write out 100 times, I will not do this and this and this. And many times a parent will say, well, I don't want to break their spirit. Listen, you want to break their spirit because they have a spirit of disobedience. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound to the heart of a child. A child is foolish. A child is born with a foolish or rebellious spirit. And yes, you want to break their spirit. Yes, you want to break their spirit. Just like God breaks our heart when we sin and we know that we are away from God, He breaks our heart to draw us closer to Him. And that's what we are to do with our children. We are to help them draw close to Him. Their spirit is not a spirit of brokenness. It's a spirit of foolishness. It's just a spirit of rebellious. And some would say, well, but I love them too much to punish them. You ever hear somebody say that? I just love my children too much to punish them. Or I just want to be their friend. No, you're not. Listen, if you're saying I love them too much to punish them, you're saying, well, because they won't love me back. Well, Proverbs 29:15 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chastiseth betimes. It's not just one time, but it's a constant, it's a consistent time. The problem is you don't love your child enough. That's the problem. You say, well, I love my child enough, I'm not going to spank him. No, you don't love him enough to spank him. That's the problem. And I understand that, again, this is a very touchy subject. And you have to have wisdom as a parent on when to spank and how many times, you know, the normal spanking's one, you know, two or three, you know. One to get your attention, two to let them know you're serious, and three just to, you know, end it. You know, that's... we normally did, you know, two or three swats, and, you know, it was enough. You don't just stand there and beat them. I'm not saying that. But, you know, if you do not punish them, if you do not break their spirit, you're basically saying, I don't love them. And if God, who is love, chastens His children, then why should we be any different? God says, look there in Hebrews chapter number 12, and in verse number 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, God, because of his love towards us, he does chasten. We are not any better than God. And so, therefore, if we love our children, then we will discipline them. And God's given us wonderful examples in the Bible, even in the book of Hebrews, to help us understand the concept of discipline. But what we have today is a deception of discipline, that it doesn't work, that it shouldn't take place in the home, that you're going to hurt the child or break their spirit or break their will or their imagination. Listen, they can imagine things later on in life, but while they're under my roof, I've got control of their imagination, amen? And I've got control. Why? Because God's given me that responsibility and to train and to teach them. The world says you don't spank them because you'll harm them and to give them emotional scars. But God says you'll drive the foolishness far from them. You see, the world says... don't, you'll drive them away from you. But God says it brings peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, the world says it will develop an unsafe society, as Dr. Spock says. Well, God says it'll bring profit and holiness. You see, the concept of the world, or the deception of the world is that You have to go against God in order for it to work. But God says you go as my word is and you follow my word, then it will work. It will bring fruit to you. It'll be profitable to you. It'll bring peace to your home. You and I have been chastised by the Lord many times. Look there in verse number 6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. God himself chastens you and me. And it's because he loves us. There may become a purpose by which God will chasten his children and bring the situation in life that he will have to bring before us. When I talk about a situation, I'm talking about something that comes into your life, that happens in your life, and you know. There is no child that wonders why they're getting spanking. They all know why they're getting a spanking. It's just they don't want a spanking. And by the way, don't ask them if they want one. I hear that all the time. Now, Junior, do you want a spanking? I don't know. You know, I haven't had one, gosh, for 13 minutes. I guess there's no child that's going to say yes, all right? Every child is going to say, why do we ask them that? Why do we ask them that? Do you want a spanking? Then straighten up. You want a spanking? Well, then sit there and behave. You want a spanking? Then sit there and be quiet. Why do we say those things? Because we ourselves, number one, don't want to follow through, hoping they'll change. We shirk our responsibility, hoping that they will straighten up before we have to. And you know what you do? You ask them again. You sure you don't want a spanking? Like they have time to think about it. And now they have now evaluated the possibility of having a spanking or not. And they still come up with the same answer. And then instead of giving them a spanking, you know what we do next? One. Two. Like you're teaching them to count or they're evaluating if you can count. Because all you do is prolong what you are supposed to act upon. God doesn't do that. God is a consistent God. God is a God of love, and he's a God of righteousness, and he will follow through because of his justice, because he loves us. He never told me, Greg, and you want chastised? Now, he'll convict me, but if I don't follow through on his conviction, and I'm going to share this with you, there's this chastisement. And there's a difference between chastisement and scourging. But God always follows through on his plan to turn you and me around. And there are times when he will allow things to come into our life to get our attention. Almost as if God is coming before us and saying, now listen, you're messing up. You know what to do. You know how to act. You know how you should respond, so respond. Or, what is he doing? He's coming to you and me and saying, listen, I'm grabbing your attention. You better listen up because that's all you're going to get because the next time it's scourging. So he chastens us, and a chastening is a verbal warning. It really is. Chastening is a verbal warning. I'll share that with you. But God himself chastens us. And that word chasten is the same word as you'll find in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, chasten them while they are young, while they're an infant. Train and chasten are the same thing. It means to instruct. It means to discipline. And it's a form of teaching. To train them and to train them through discipline. Now, we train, when you're out there training something or an animal of some sort, you train them, you do both good and bad, don't you? You reward them, and then you also discipline them somehow when they're wrong. And that's what God does for you and me. When we are being chastened, we are being trained verbally or by getting our attention And God says, now listen, if you don't follow through, then I have to take the next step. I remember many times our kids, and like I said, there's things that, you know, we're like any other parents. We try to let it go, but we were pretty consistent most of the upbringing of our children. But we gave them some warnings, especially in church. That's where normally all the things that the training that really took place was in church services, and sit here and do this, and you know, it took some time. But if they didn't, you know, then we'd have to take the next step. So when we train the children, God says He chastens us because He loves us. And it's a training. It's a verbal training. It's a redirecting through discipline. When we train them and chasten them verbally, it's a redirecting. Hey, don't do that. Let's not play over there. Listen, that's hot. Do not touch it. What I'm doing, I'm chasing them and saying, don't touch it. But I'm training them and saying, don't touch it. Because next time, it's going to hurt you. I'm trying to redirect them through instruction, through words, through warnings. And here's where we fall short. Many parents will fall short. The next step, we get frustrated by just verbally telling them. And constantly verbally telling them. And verbally telling them. And we wonder why nothing changes. If God kept telling me, and God kept trying to tell me things, and nothing really happened to me physically, then why should I change? You know, what's He going to do? He just keeps bothering me about it. But God goes further, and I think as parents, and as the example that He has shared that with us. And so every child is bound to go in a wrong direction, and we are there to help train them and help teach them to go in that right direction. Listen, a child doesn't know what's right for them. That's why God gave them parents. And parents, God gave us a responsibility to teach them and to train them what is right. And again, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound to the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. That means to steer him away from the foolishness, while at the same time revealing their wrong in their direction. And God will chasten us and His children. And we may have been involved. You may have personally given a testimony, or you could give a testimony, or where I know God chastised me. I know where God done me wrong, or I done wrong towards God, or I had committed this sin. I remember when He chastised me. God will chasten us. Moses was chastened. You know, everything that we learn in Scripture is given by principle, by command, by example, or even Christ Himself. There's nothing that we do in life that has not been already exposed in Scripture. And even the Lord, when He chastened Moses, did it openly when He took him up there on the mountain and said, here, you know, take a look. Here's the promised land. What you worked for all these years, Moses. But you can't go in. See Moses up on the mountaintop? I want to go in. What was he, 120 years old or so? Wanting to go in? He wasn't allowed. He disobeyed. Could God have said, well, you know, you only disobeyed once. I mean, I understand, you know. But God, being a righteous God, said, no, you can't go in. And you'll find in Deuteronomy 32 the reasons why in verses 49 through 52. He went against his word. He went against His commandment. He didn't lift up God. He didn't magnify God. His anger took over. And therefore, God chastised him. So God Himself proves that He Himself will follow through. And Moses was that leader, but he was bound in foolishness that day, and therefore God had to chastise him. But chastising, again, means to bring teaching through instruction and for a certain time's sake. And God Himself, let me go with me to the book of Leviticus, just real quick. All right, Leviticus. Are y'all warm? I'm warm. Brother Rick, could you just turn those off, if you don't mind? And Leviticus chapter number 26, in verse number 1, all right? Leviticus chapter number 26, in verse number 1. And God's a good God, and I'm thankful that He's a good God. He's a patient God, but He's a God of justice as well. Leviticus chapter number 26, read with me verse number 1. Ye shall make no idols, nor graven images, neither rear you up any standing images, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. He says here, ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and if ye keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you the rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach under the vintage, and the vintage shall reach under the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Well, why did God say all these things? Why would He do that for them? Well, He says, if you keep my statutes and my commandments and do them. See, it all hinges. All hinges on their decision to obey or disobey. God says, listen, if you keep my statutes, you keep my commandments, you do them, listen, you're going to have a sweet life. I'm going to provide everything for you. Your farms are going to increase like you've never seen. You're not going to have the enemies come in. If they do, you're going to be able to chase them right out because I'm going to be with you. Because you're following my command. You're following after what I had set for you to do. And we all would say, well, that would be great. Well, keep going. Verse number 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, if ye shall despise my statutes, and if your soul shall abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint you over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and shall consume the eyes and the and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. God says, listen, if you don't follow my instructions, if you don't follow my commandments, you don't follow the ways that I have set for you to help you prosper in life, to give you a happy life, a joyful life, a life of peace. If you don't, then your life's going to be really a it's going to be a wreck for you. Listen, we're not there to make our children's life a wreck. We're there to help them, amen. But if they fall against the commandments of our home, then we have to follow through, just as God followed through, to bring chastisement and even scourging. Go back with me to verse number 6 of Hebrews chapter number 12. All right, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Again, that is a verbal warning, a training. A time of exhortation, going in the right direction. But then he talks about this scourging. Well, what is the scourging? Well, the scourging is the physical punishment. That chastisement is that teaching that God gives us individually and that we should give our children individually and to share with them, hopefully, that they'll take issue with that and follow through with that. And by the way, that doesn't affect anybody else. I mean, the chastisement is to them directly. But when you come to scourging not only deals with you, but it also can have an effect on others. Say, for instance, Brother Caleb, our dear brother in the Lord, has a gambling problem. And he really doesn't. It's an illustration, okay? Illustration. People are going to get you back in the corner and give you $5 to go uptown later on. Brother Caleb has a gambling problem, and the Lord's trying to teach him not to do that. And he knows that every time he goes in, you know, every time he wastes his money, and he's got a gambling problem, and the Lord's been dealing with that and convicting his heart, but yet he's not listening. And he's wasting God's money. God says, all right, now I'm going to have to scourge you. Caleb goes in the next day to work, and they said, listen, we've heard some things. We're going to have to let you go. He tries to cover it up a little bit, but what's it doing? Because he didn't listen to God, God took away that which he was using. And it just didn't affect Caleb, but now it affected his whole family. It affected his wife. It affected his children. It affected every part of that family. When you scourge your child, it doesn't just affect your child, it affects you. It hurts. You know, I've heard that saying, it's going to hurt you or me more than it does you. And you know, as a child, you're thinking, what? There's no way. I'm feeling the pain. But then when you become a parent, you understand that it does hurt. And the scourging of our children hurts both of us. And I believe the scourging that God gives us many times hurts him as well. When we talk about the scourging, it's done correctly. That scourging is a physical punishment that we are to encourage in our home. And it goes exactly what God has given us in Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. I don't know, but I've heard some good criers in my days. I mean, they can cry on a dime. You can spank them with the feather, and it sounded like they just got whooped with a cat of nine tails. I mean, they did well with crying. And you knew it wasn't right. You knew it wasn't a true cry. But don't spare for their crying. Listen, how many times have you cried to God, take this away from me, or don't let me go through this, and yet God let you go through it, and you realize it was for your benefit? God says here, when we chastise our children and scourge our children or chasten our children, correct our children, don't spare for their crying. Don't allow that to bother you. Your child will know. Listen, it's best to do it when they're children. The Bible says here, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. But then you also find in Proverbs 23:13-14, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, I know the King James verbiage is a little harsher than what we would use. Beat him with a rod. That sounds to me like you take him out in the public area and tie him up and start whooping him with a bamboo stick. That's not what he's talking about, okay? He's just talking about the instrument that we use in a correct manner to spank him, all right? And it's just used rod. We could put on there a paddle or switch. How many had the switch before? You know, you had to go buy and get your own. Go get your own switch. Didn't get the right one, you got to go back and get a better one. All right, don't get the one that you know ain't going to work well. You get the one that you unfortunately know it's going to work. And we use different verbiages, and that's what the Bible is using here, is a verb. But it's an instrument that we use to correct our children. Don't withhold it. Because what will happen is this. If you follow through with the correct manner of discipline in your child's life, where corporal punishment is necessary, and you follow through, you don't give them chances. I'm just trying to help you out, okay? I'm just trying to give you some encouragement here. You don't give them chances. There's no debating, all right? There's no debating. You give them the warning, and if they don't follow through, then you have to administer the second half. Here's the wonderful thing about this is that when you administer the second part of that, the spanking, then the next time you chasten them or correct them verbally, they know that you're serious if I don't. They know that you'll follow through. And it may take a few times. It really does. It may take several times for that to sink in. One of our children, it's seemingly that it was just like a clockwork. I mean, it's like clockwork. It's a nightly thing. We had to spank them. It's just the same thing over and over. It's like you think it would just, don't they get it? I don't want to sink in their head. You know, they're constantly doing the same thing and they're getting spanked for the same thing. And you'd think that after one or two times that they would learn, but their foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And so in time, it came to them. And our daughter Bethany and all the kids will tell you that she was just a perfect little girl. She never got a spanking. And we just had to look at her wrong, and that's all we needed to do. And I just did it sometimes just to do it, you know, just to keep it fresh. You know, she didn't do anything wrong, but I look at her wrong, just to, you know, I just remind her what it looked like. But you know, all of our children at points were spanked. But they knew that if we didn't follow through, or if they did not take heed to our forewarning, then we would follow through on that. And God gives us that. He says here, you know, sometimes I chasten you, but if you don't listen, then I'm going to scourge you. I'm going to punish you and do it in a physical manner. And God does that. Many of us in our Christian life could say, you know, I know that there's times I didn't follow through with the Lord, and He had to do some physical things in my life, and it was hard. It was difficult to see. God had to get my attention in such a manner. But when He did, I fell. You find in the book called The Prodigal Son, he was scourged. He knew truth and he knew what was right. And yet because of the situation, he found himself. And he finally realized, he came to himself. David came to himself after the prophet came to him and said, "Thou art the man." Listen, God loves us so much that He does it for us, and He's given us to be, as an example that we also would administer. It's hard. Would you agree? It's difficult. At times, it seems to be all the time. Sometimes you feel like they just don't listen. And then sometimes, you know, I'm just tired. And we hold back a little bit, but we need to follow through. And it is difficult. 29:15 of Proverbs says, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. And he shall give delight unto thy soul." Listen, you want a happy home, it's going to take some work. And there are times in rearing our children, in bringing them up, that, yes, I'm tired. I really don't feel like dealing with it right now, but look at the long run. Jesus said, he looked before him, the race that was set before him, and that time when he'll endure the cross, he'll despise the shame, but there'll be a time when he sits down on the right hand of the Father. And you have to understand that in the home, there's times when you raise our children, we raise the children, that there are times where, yes, there is a tiredness and just that point where I'm just ready to give up. But don't give up, because you're consistent in it. There will be a rest eventually. And Don't allow the difficulties, but stay consistent. Don't allow the difficulties to keep you from ministering. And let God begin to deal with their heart. But our responsibility is to correct them. Proverbs 29:17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. Hebrews chapter number 12, let me just close with this here. In Hebrews 12 and verses 10 and 11, and let me just point some things out. For verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, talking about the physical parents, but he for our profit. I see that in verse number 10, for they verily, meaning mom and dad, for a few days chastened us. That means that they were consistent, but it took some time. It was consistent. They were consistent, but it took some time. And mom and dad, stay consistent. Stay consistent. And if the environment doesn't lend itself, you need to take care of it when it does. But stay consistent. Your children will know your inconsistency. But it says here, after their own pleasure. It's not that we enjoy, or as parents, we enjoy, oh, this is pleasurable. I mean, boy, don't you get a kick out of disciplining our children? No parent does. It's basically saying that pleasurable means what was necessary at the time. It was needful for them, for me to administer the chastening of mom and dad. And so they did it because it was needful for you and me. Mom and dad didn't just spank us just because they got a kick out of it. They did it because we needed it. And it was for our good. It was for our need in our life. And so with that, they did that. But verse number 11, he says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. And we can all agree with that. There is no chastening. Whether it's a spiritual chastening or whether it's a physical chastening or scourging, that it's joyful. Boy, I just love being spanked. There's nobody that says, there's no child that says, Dad, give me another. You know? Oh, Mom, that was so good. Can I get another one later on? There's no child that will say, you know, what do you want for Christmas, Susie? I like to have four spankings. You know, they're not going to say that. There's no pleasure in that. It's not joyful, but it's grievous. It's hard. It's hurtful. But I like what it says there. But afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit. Many times, after administering that with our children, we've made it a point not to spank out of anger. We made it a point to give a space of time between the incident and the time of correction, so that, as I mentioned, two things will happen. Number one, they'll think about it, and number two, we and our emotions come down. So we do it correctly and not out of anger, not out of frustration. Don't ever spank your child out of anger, out of frustration. You ought to be able to control that and administer it in a right spirit, because what you're doing is you're trying to help them understand properly and correctively what God would expect out of them. And so many times we would spank them. And it's not easy to go in the room and here's why we're here and to assume the position and spank them as God had intended. But, you know, afterwards, many times there was a hug. Many times there was a prayer. And there was that fellowship, that sweetness, as he's talking about, that yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's peace in the house after that. And as you are consistent with children, and mom, grandma, grandpa, as well with grandchildren, I believe it's if you're able to step in or need to step in and be given the opportunity to step in, that it's there for you as well. But if we do these things and are consistent in following God's plan, then eventually you're going to sit back and say, look what God has done. It's been a difficult road, But look at our family. They're serving the Lord. They're loving the Lord. We're not embarrassed of them. They don't bring us to shame. But it takes discipline. It takes love. And listen, if you love your children enough, you'll discipline them. God loves you and me enough to discipline us. And He's our example. So we ourselves ought to do that. Don't let the world deceive you. Don't let Dr. Spock from his book deceive you. And people say, it'll cause scars and pain. And no, it'll cause them to veer away and to obey the Lord eventually. And that's the whole goal, to obey God. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right.